This is Fresh Air on Writing and Failure. It's a subject that could fill volumes, but instead it's the title of a new pamphlet-length book by Canadian novelist and essayist Stephen Marsh. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says that while failure may be no laughing matter, Marsh's little book is a witty delight to read.
No whining. That's one of Stephen Marsh's refrains throughout his provocative essay called On Writing and Failure. As a writer himself, Marsh would never deny that writing is hard work. He well knows that writing for a living is fatiguing to the brain and tough on the ego, and that the financial payoff is overwhelmingly dismal. But by repeatedly saying, no whining, Marsh is telling aspiring writers in particular to get used to it. His aim in this little book is to talk about what it takes to live as a writer, and what it takes, in Marsh's view, is to have no illusions about the certainty of failure. Even beyond talent or luck, Marsh argues, the one thing a writer needs to get used to is failing again and again. On Writing and Failure is not your standard meditation on the art and nobility of writing as a profession. But while Marsh's outlook is as bleak as one of Fitzgerald's legendary hangovers, his writing style is buoyant and funny. On Writing and Failure is part of a new pamphlet series being published by Biblioasis, a small independent Canadian press. The pamphlet is a quintessentially 18th century form, popularized by the likes of Tom Paine and Mary Wollstonecraft, and Marsh walks in their footsteps. He's a quintessentially 18th century Enlightenment stylist, bristling with contrarian views and witty epigrams. For instance, here's a passage where Marsh discusses the cruel species of irony that drove the working life of Herman Melville. His first book, says Marsh, was Typee, A Peep at Polynesian Life, pure crap and a significant bestseller. His final book was Billy Budd, an extreme masterpiece he couldn't even manage to self-publish. Melville's fate was like the sick joke of some cruel god. The better he wrote, the more he failed. The bulk of On Writing and Failure is composed of similar anecdotes about the failures endured by writers whose greatness, like Melville's, was recognized far too late to do them any good, or writers who dwelt in depression and/or rejection. English has provided a precise term of art to describe the writerly condition, says Marsh, submission. Writers live in a state of submission. Marsh, by most measures a successful writer, shares that he kept scrupulous account of his own rejections until he reached the 2000 mark. That was some 20 years ago. He's in good company, of course, with writers like Jack London, who reportedly kept his letters of rejection impaled on a spindle that eventually rose to 4 feet, around 600 rejections. If you're expecting a big, inspirational turnaround after this litany of literary failure, forget about it. Instead, Marsh insists on staring clear-eyed into the void. The internet, he says, loves to tell stories about famous writers facing adversity. What I find strange is that anyone finds it strange that there's so much rejection. The average telemarketer has to make 18 calls before finding someone willing to talk with him or her. And that's for stuff people might need, like a vacuum cleaner or a new smartphone. Nobody needs a manuscript. Marsh says several times throughout his essay that he intends On Writing and Failure to be a consolation to his fellow writers, to assure them that their misery has company. Cold comfort. But Marsh is smart enough to know that no one who wants to write is going to be discouraged by cautionary tales or dismal book sales statistics. Nor should they be. Because occasionally, when the stars are aligned, someone writes a work as provocative, informed, and droll as On Writing and Failure. Maybe writing well is its own reward. Marsh would probably say it has to be.
Maureen Corrigan is a professor of literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed On Writing and Failure by Stephen Marsh.